As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Strange Familiars for part two of our talk with Paul and Charlie of TDT Research.
This is available to everyone, right?
Yeah, this is an everybody episode.
Woo!
Thank you for letting me press the button.
Satisfying.
It is very satisfying.
If you didn't hear part one, you should probably go ahead and listen to that, because that's where we lay all the groundwork and Paul and Charlie talk about their kind of initial experiences with all this stuff and how they met. And we just kind of expand the discussion in this episode. So go ahead and listen to part one first and then come back and start this episode. Before we get to part two of Paul and Charlie, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. You make Strange Familiars possible. We couldn't do the show without you. If you'd like to help us make Strange Familiars and get extra content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. We just dropped our 93rd patron episode, I think, where I went into great detail about both my past and recent experiences at Hex Hollow. I think it was the most personal episode I've ever done. Just kind of try to get to the heart of my feelings about Hex Hollow and everything that went down there. Very different episode for me. But that's 93 patron episodes. And you get 93 episodes as soon as you sign up. Plus, we're doing more patron episodes every month. We do two full episodes of Strange Familiars for our patrons every month. So you get the 93 right away, and then you will get two more every month when you're a patron. Again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All right, let's go ahead and get to part two of our talk with Paul and Charlie.
I'll jump to that
very unusual moment. Three people, three of us, TDT experiences, we all had wake-up calls one night. During the dream phase, we were all dreaming about a bridge. One was dreaming about nuclear war, one was running away. And when I got there in the dream, everyone was gone. I was wandering around this bridge, and this, like, there was some sort of catastrophe that happened. That was on the 27th of January this year. What happened the next day? 10 people injured in the Pittsburgh bridge collapse. How does that work?
Yeah, that's getting into Mothman prophecies territory.
Weird. It's really just weird stuff. Tim, we don't really know what's all going on with this whole thing. We're not pretending like we have a clue. But with the poltergeist type stuff happening, and just all this, the ET, the poltergeist, the voices.
That all fits in with that skinwalker stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So when all this is first going on in 2021, I know we're still in about 21 to current time frame. So we are bouncing around a little bit, but it's important because when all this flood of stuff just starts happening with poltergeist type stuff and everything else, we're reading and listening to on Audible pretty much every book that we can get our hands on about different subjects. Like I was, re-listening to The Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm not really bringing Sasquatch into this whole topic, but I'm just saying, if you read Hunt for the Skinwalker, when they're on the Skinwalker Ranch, they have a portal open and they have like a Bigfoot type creature crawl out of this portal. And there's scientists actually from NIDS,
mm-hmm.
National Institute of Discovery Science. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with that encounter. Yeah. They're actually watching this thing crawl out. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they're seeing this thing crawl out. So, okay. And that's how they described it. Bigfoot type creature. They're describing orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had the blue orb happen with me earlier when I was recounting my history of encounters. One of the that I'm labeling now as the poltergeist, one of the mornings that I woke up in 21, the dogs are going nuts. I open the door. I'm thinking, oh wow, they got to go out super early today. I get up. I open the door, and in front of the dogs' crates, there is a red softball-sized orb, and it's shining like a disco ball, and it scared the heck out of me. I opened the door, and it's there, and it's like 1,000, 2,000 winks out. I shut the door. I'm ignoring it, and I just come back in here, and it's just more of that type stuff that's going on. And so now in my mind, with all this stuff that's going on, the books that we're reading, interviews that we're listening to and other people's experiences, that's when I'm starting to put together that, like I said earlier, that all of just everything in my mind, a lot of these, whether it's ET, Bigfoot, not saying ghosts don't exist, but demonic, paranormal, whatever is controlling this, it's all like one thing in my mind is controlling almost all of this stuff.
Yeah, when you look at the data with the TDT for all the people, you've got one section that believe it's demons, and the other section believe it's angels and spirit guides. So you've got exactly the same thing, but people are viewing it in different ways. I think that's just down to cultural belief systems, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of natural for people to want to separate this stuff. It's crazy enough to be into Bigfoot. It's crazy enough to be into UFOs. It's crazy enough to be into ghosts. And then when you start telling people, I'm into all three and they're all connected, then people are like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. That's what we're finding. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is this stuff is all linked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just to take an example, you were talking about the three knocks, right? You said most often it happens in threes.
Yes.
Absolutely. In the woods, when we hear wood knocks, 1, 2, 3. Not all the time. All the time, but most often. Recorded some recently. That sounded like in a very tense, very weird, spooky situation. Three in a row. Clack, clack, clack. Sounded like rocks being hit together. Two times, but each time was in a segment of three. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. We've noticed that, and we've had people who are very serious occultists say that before spirits manifest, these are people that do ceremonial magic and work with spirits, and they say they get three knocks before spirits manifest.
The same thing.
1, 2, 3. Yeah. Charlie, when you talked about seeing the gray and being frozen like that, I've experienced that in the woods. I thought I was frozen with fear.
Wow.
I smelled a very, very bad smell. I won't go over the whole thing. I can tell you guys off the air. My listeners have heard it a million times. So I just don't want to go over it again. But it was during a weird series of events. But I smelled a very strong, very bad smell, like a dead animal in the middle of the summer that had been, you know, cooking in the sun. But this was in January. When I smelled the smell, fear came over me and I couldn't move. I wanted to run. Like every part of me is saying, run, run, run. And I couldn't do it. I was completely locked up. So, you know, very, very similar. That ended with three metal clicks that sounded like little tiny gears. Click, click, click. And I was able to move again. You know, very strange. And that happened in the woods. You know, this wasn't a quote-unquote abduction encounter, you know.
Yeah, the women, too. The encounter when I was 9 up on the bed, 21 to current. When I told you we were reading all the books, you know, listening to the Audible, I came across Terry Lovelace's book, Incident at Devil's Den, and that is a very awesome book that I recommend to anyone out there who has not listened to that or read or listened to that book. So, Incident at Devil's Den, Terry talks about his encounters, and at the end, he talks about how, you know, he's awakened one night and he goes into his, I believe it's like his kitchen's den, whatever. There's a female entity sitting there. I believe she even had blonde hair in his encounter. And that, man, I'm telling you, when I listened to that part of that book, I instantly was teleported in my mind back to when I had my encounter, and I was like, wow, that makes perfect sense to me. That's kind of why I was convinced, you know, it was solidified in my mind that, you know, what I saw to me wasn't a ghost. I don't know what it was, this thing that's controlling everything, but I mean, that, you know, that was a big tie-in for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to the point now doing all this research where I guess some ghosts are the spirits of dead people, but I think that's rarer than them being something else. I think this idea that all ghosts are the spirits of dead people is, I'm having difficulty with that because of the strangeness that tends to surround these ghost sightings as well. And because, you know, people are seeing ghosts that essentially look like Sasquatch and these other things, and they're saying, well, it's a ghost. Like, well, what, you know, what dead person looks like that? So, you know, I think, you know, maybe there are spirits of dead people, but there's definitely something else too going on with these ghost sightings that people are having.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think, I mean, I don't know really what it is, again, controlling everything, but another thing that I've also thought about all this is, you know, whatever this thing is, you know, whatever people are thinking that it is, you have something that is just like with, you know, Sasquatch are supposedly able to just disappear, right? There's stories of Sasquatch disappearing. All the things that we're talking about can disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, lack of a better term, interdimensional is thrown around. You know, what, I don't know if that's right. Whatever it is, the thing that I've always brought up is, how do you trust something that is interdimensional? You know, people say they get these messages from ET beings, for instance, right?
Right.
Something is talking to you and it's telling you this message, but how do you trust it when it's interdimensional? And it, you know, it could appear to you and say, I have the cure for cancer, you know, and I'm gonna help you, you know, just believe me. But it's like, how do you trust these things when, you know, they can do what they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that goes back to spirit contact as well. A lot of occultists will, you know, have communications with these things, and my advice to them is be very careful, because sometimes they tell the truth and sometimes they don't, and we don't know when. You know, we don't know when they're doing which. So look at Mothman prophecies. They were getting very accurate information until they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this stuff is not, it doesn't think like us. You know, it's other, you know. And my theory is that there's something to do with time, that it doesn't work the same way for them. That's why they're able to predict what we're going to do next. You know, not because they have some kind of ESP or something, but because they can, you know, sort of look forward in time in a sense and know where we're going to be and not be there if they don't want to be.
Yeah,
and again, just a theory. You know, I don't know, but it's just, you know, something I'm playing with.
You had something, Paul. You remember when you were waking up, you had that experience and the time was different on your clock. It was like slowing down.
Yeah, that was another TDT event. I woke up and the seconds were going double time. They were ticking by at double time. So say if you counting your head, you're doing like 1 and 2 and 3.
Right.
This was like literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
It was double time. And I was watching it. I thought, well, something's wrong here, something's wrong with the clock. So I've got these radio clocks, so I've gone into the front room, and the clock in the front room, completely separate, runs on batteries, doing exactly the same thing. So I'm watching this thing, and over the course of the next couple of minutes, the seconds start to slow down. They're digital clocks. So the seconds start to slow down, and it returns to normal, some sort of time anomaly going on. Mm-hmm. I was able to witness that, so I don't know how that worked.
Yeah,
it's like in a bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and something else we've noticed as well: people around us are being affected. And it wasn't until I went through that book, Skinwalkers in the Pentagon, that it suddenly clicked, the virus model. And it does; it spreads like a virus. It's gone to my boy. It's gone to one of his school friends. They're getting TDT as well, and it's spreading around and it's moving around, just like you pick up a hitchhiker and it follows you home, and then it starts doing things to the neighbors and stuff like that. It's all there. It's the same sort of framework.
Well, this is again theory. Kind of what we've figured out is with this hitchhiker thing. Okay, it's like when I had the orb, the blue orb, when I was listening to the, and I thought something had followed me home. Okay, it's like. In paranormal, we hear, be careful what you're doing. Something could attach itself to you and follow you home. So it's literally the same kind of concept, but it seems to be in this TDT, this stuff spreading, when Paul's talking like a virus, it's like when you talk about it, you believe it, and then you start researching or talking about it, it's like you're susceptible to it happening to you, if that makes sense. It's like it's... same kind of concept as like a ghost following you. It's like this stuff starts happening, the TDT and everything.
We call it the Eye of Sauron. You put on the ring and the big eye turns and looks at you.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've experienced, you know, very similar things. Have you, either of you, ever experienced in these sort of abduction type things, something that seemed kind of silly or ridiculous? Something that, like, just completely odd.
I've never really experienced anything like that, but I know what you're talking about. Mine has always been the great, you know, the typical, just like I've been saying, it's the communion cover to me is the best representation of what a gray looks like. A little bit different, but that's pretty much nailed it. I've always seen that. Now, if you read Lovelace's book, maybe this is what you're talking about. When he was a kid, he would see what he called the monkey men. They would almost look like a... like they were wearing monkey masks or these weird kind of masks. It was weird, frightening at the same time. It's like it's silly and frightening and crazy at the same time, where they didn't look like typical grays, but it was like monkey. And his cousin started having the same kind of things happen. And I think that he talks about that in the follow-up book, Devil's Den, The Reckoning. His cousin Gerald was seeing like clowns. They're almost like little big clown guys.
Yeah, so the most recent time that I actually saw them, it was a particularly rough patch I was having in my life. This was in December of a few years back. I fell asleep. We have a little kind of den library TV room kind of thing. And I fell asleep there, and I woke up, and I'm sure you understand when I say, like, I was awake. You know, people will say, well, you were just dreaming, but it's like, no, it's like you're super aware. It's like you're more than awake, you know? And there were a bunch of grays, more than I'd ever seen, packed in this little room with me. I don't like them. I've had not good experiences with them in general. But this time they looked like they were all dressed up in Native American tribal gear if they were doing like a powwow dance, right? But if you can imagine, it was all colored like 1980s like glam rock neon stuff, right? So none of it looked natural, like big neon green feathers and breastplates that were like purple and pink and stuff. It's ridiculous. They absolutely look ridiculous. And they started dancing around in a circle. It was almost humorous, you know, almost where I was like, what's going on? And almost started laughing at them, which would be very unusual for me because we have like I said, not a great relationship with these things. But, you know, I don't remember them disappearing. I can't say they faded out or anything. They just weren't there, right? And I'm sitting up in bed. So it's not like I woke up from a dream or anything. They're just not there all of a sudden. And a moth flies down, a big moth, you know, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches, lands in my hair at my right ear and starts buzzing. So here you have the buzzing sound, but it's caused by a moth right there in my right ear, just buzzing away. I, you know, reach up and kind of flick the moth out of my hair. It flies away. I never did find that moth. There shouldn't have been moths in December. They're done by then. I never did find that moth. I love moths. I'm like, I used to sit out at night with a black light and just, you know, kind of note all the different kinds of moths that showed up and everything. So I'm, you know, very fond of moths, but I would have loved to see what kind it was. I know it was big, but beyond that, I never did find that moth, but it was, you know, very strange experience. Most of my other ones have been more like, you know, the ones you described, very disturbing and upsetting. This, like I said, it was almost humorous. It was almost ridiculous. But ending with the moth like that, getting the buzzing sound, but getting it from what seemed like a natural creature was very odd.
Yeah, that is crazy. That would scare me to death. I don't really want to. Paralyzation abductions to me are scary enough. I had the 18 thing happen. That was over the top for me. I always say that's when I figured out true terror. Like, I don't ever want to see him again. Like, that would scare me to death, experiencing what you're talking about with that. But, you know, you're mentioning the moth. Paul will know what I'm talking about, where I'm going with this one. I've noticed a lot. I have a lot of times robins will, you know, I'll open the window and I'll have, like, robins staring at me. Like, in our yard, I was at the Maple Hill Cemetery, which is a big cemetery up in Huntsville, and I had one that would, Paul, I was streaming Paul when this happened. It was like sitting on this tombstone. I look over and I'm like, well, the robin's back, because it's like, you know, just sitting there staring at me. And I, but what you're talking about, it kind of reminds me of what Mike Clellan talks about in some of his books. Have you ever read his stuff?
Yeah, I'm friends with Mike.
Oh, cool. I would love to talk to Mike Clellan. He's so cool. You know, he had the owls. Mm-hmm. With his, and you know, you've apparently had now a moth, and I have a lot of weird things happen like that with robins. So I don't know if they're just, if they use that kind of stuff to communicate with us or try to, or I mean, what's your take?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's some kind of, you know, they work in symbols, right? So, you know, and they find symbols that mean things to people. I had owl stuff happen to me after reading Mike's book, after a lifetime of growing up on a farm and barely ever seeing an owl. I read Mike's book and I have a whole bunch of owl synchronicities just flying at me left and right after that. So I blame Mike for that. But, you know, never had them before. But now, and now owls are a fairly consistent thing in my life. Never before. In fact, you know, as a kid, I remember being upset. Like, we had a barn and no barn owls. So I was like, you know, I always wanted to see owls when I was a kid. Never, you know, grew up on a farm. Maybe saw one or two, maybe, before reading Mike's book. And then now they're just all the time, owls everywhere. But yeah, I think this stuff, it speaks to us in symbols in a lot of times. I think dreams are part of this as well. And I've said recently that I think if they can't reach you in waking life, and that, you know, sometimes they can't because we're busy people. You know, we got to live our life. We got day-to-day stuff we have to take care of. They'll reach you in dreams. And that's a difficult thing because, of course, everyone wants to say, well, you're just dreaming. It's all just dreams then. You know, I feel like there's a difference between, you know, like the Aboriginal people, like big dreams, little dreams, you know. Some dreams you're just processing what happened during the day. But I think if you're tuned in, I think, you know when a big dream happens, you know, when you're given important information. So, yeah, there's so many layers in this stuff, and symbolism's part of it for sure.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The rabbit hole goes really deep with this whole thing. And like I've said probably several times, I'll keep saying it too, is, you know, we really don't know what any of this stuff is. It's just, we know it's there and we know it's continuing. You know, like I had a, yeah. I screenshotted the phone this morning. You know, I had a 222 this morning. So it's like, it's just so weird when you have these, you're just, you know, you're dead asleep and then you shock awake. And then it's, and then you, you know, you're pulling your phone, because I sleep with my phone near my head, and so, you know, you wake up, look at the phone, you're like, ah, it's happening again.
Literally, yeah, it's happening all around the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. So if you just, yeah, it's, there's thousands of people that are experiencing this, you know, on a daily basis. You know, the ultimate question is, you know, why? And of course, we don't know that answer.
Have you ever gotten anything, any weird phone calls or weird text messages or anything like that? Like anything with technology where, like, you know, it seems like it's a contact?
No, mm-hmm. We've not had that happen yet or, you know, anything like that. The thing that, one of the last things that I had happen was more of the poltergeist stuff with the knocking. You know, recap on that one. I have the video of it. You know, I let the dog out and I'm walking away in the video and you hear knock, 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 knock. And it was loud, and I jerked my head. It was on the glass, to this, the same area where I heard the bird chirping that time with the bird video I took. It was that glass to our back door, and it was clearly, clear as day, it was knocking on that. And I caught that on video. And then I have this video, too. A couple of days later, me and my wife were sitting in our bedroom just watching some TV. Had the TV down low. All of a sudden, the dog goes, the dog like growls, and then you hear this, and all my dogs are out in the backyard except for one. She's in her crate in there. And you hear the dog start growling. Me and my wife look at each other at the same time, because I believe dogs can pick up on this stuff. So the growl happens, and then bang. You hear like this just loud bang. Scared us to death. Got up. Go in there. I'm looking around. I don't see anything. I don't catch anything falling on the cameras. The only thing that I'm catching is the audio. And so I have a kitchen cam. And the kitchen cam is close to that dog crate, and you hear this, and it's really weird. I've never had this happen on these cameras, and they're good cameras. You, when you listen to this clip I have, you know, probably from the paranormal world, when, you know, the theories of electromagnetic fields and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, you know, listeners know all about that. Well, anyway, on this camera, you hear the dog start getting agitated. Right before the dog gets agitated, you hear like it almost sounds like mumbling, but it's probably like it sounds more like interference. You hear this like this charge building, and the dog barks. And I sent this video to Paul. He's heard it. The dog barks, and then you hear this loud bang, and then you hear more of that distortion, and then all of a sudden the distortion just fades away, and the whole room is quiet as a mouse. That was really weird. I have no explanation for that.
I wanted to ask you, when you were talking about hearing the sort of disembodied voices, could you ever make out what they were saying?
Yes. Okay. I totally skipped over that. So this is the same time period, 21 to 22. This has happened several times. So the disembodied voices that I've heard and my wife has heard these too, so it's not just me. Like one for her, one example she had, I'm coming down the road. I'm almost home, coming home from work, and we have this like tracker on our phone, so we both know where we are. And when I get a certain distance from the house, it will even alert. So I'm right outside of that distance. She calls me on the phone, and she goes, "Hey, are you in the house right now?" And I was like, "No, I'm almost home. I'm running, running a couple minutes late." And she says, "Oh, okay. All right, see you when you get home." And she hangs up. I get home. Everything's normal. Go through the night. So we're going to work the next morning. And she doesn't like talking about any of this stuff in the house. So we're going to work the next morning. And she's like, "I just wanted to let you know the reason I called you last night was because she was in the bedroom area with the door open. And she thought she heard me having like a complete sentence with her and saying something like, paraphrasing here, it was something like, hey, where are you? What's going on?" Or something like that. And she thought it was me. She's like, "Hey, I'm in here." And then, there's no reply after that. And then that's when she's realizing, well, he didn't come in the other. She's thinking maybe I came in the other door. But then I wasn't here. And then I had an incident happen probably not too long after that where I was in the kind of that hallway area. I was about to paint my son's room. And I heard her say, "Hey, do you have the pliers in there?" And she was in our bedroom doing some painting. I remember the house is shaped like an L. I'm at one tip of the L. She's at the other tip of the L. I heard her say about the pliers, and I said, "Yeah, I got them right here." So I get them, and I walk all the way, and I'm like expecting her to be right outside the door, and she's not there. So I go all the way. I go all the way around the house, and I'm like, hey. I get her attention. And she's got her earbuds in. So I have to come all the way in the room where she's painting. And I'm like, "Hey, here's the pliers." And she's like, "Why would I want the pliers? I'm painting." And so, she didn't ask me for those. Mm-hmm. And, it's silly stuff like that. It's nothing to do with a message or with, any right. of the stuff we're talking about. It's just silly, weird stuff. And right. then I had another couple of times too with the metallic voice where I've heard growls. Like one night, I forgot to bring this up too earlier. I was having an abduction type experience that's turned into like a TDT wake up. And in this one that I had, there was like three around the bed as normal, but I can actually hear voices talking. And this is after me and Paul were well into our research. This is before the synchronicity event happened that we were talking about with the radio at the same time. I heard three around my bed, and I heard them say Paul's name. I heard them. I can't make out what they said before it, but it was like something, something, something. And it's in that metallic growly voice. It's like something, 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 Paul Jones. And then right when they said his name, I woke up and it was 3:33.
Wow.
Yeah. The most recent metallic voice that I heard was, I was laying asleep several weeks back, just starting to go to sleep. And in my left ear, I heard in that same growly metallic voice, it said, "Hello there." And it's giving me chills thinking about it. And it was like right into my ear, Tim. It was pretty scary. And the reason I bring that up is because, Paul, you remember another member of our group had exact same phrase that she's in the UK too. The exact same phrase in the exact same. She and even when we were talking about it, she was like, and it was in this weird growly metallic voice.
Wow.
And yeah, and I had never told her about that.
And that's the thing. What sort of poltergeist can do synchronistic events on opposite sides of the planet?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not normal, is it?
I mean, whatever this stuff is, like I said, it doesn't seem to be constrained by the same laws we are. Let's put it that way.
It's not constrained by the same laws that we think of. If a poltergeist, as the definition goes, is a mischievous spirit that's confined to a space, it's not going to do the same thing. If the traditional explanation of that is correct, it's not going to do that to me. And then the exact same one in a different part of the world going to do the exact same thing to another person that's familiar with the same person that just had it happen to him. And I've researched a lot of cases and I've never heard somebody claiming, a poltergeist did something like that. And to me, that's just another reinforcement of it being some, the Passport to Magonia book, where the gray is wearing like all these different masks.
Right.
It's just like from Valet. It's like the new cover. I mean, as we've said again, and we'll keep saying it, this whatever this is, it's just wearing all these different masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I kind of use, one catch-all term, just call it the other, because don't know what it is, but yeah, it all seems to be connected. Have you, or do you know anyone who has tried sleeping with the lights on, as silly as that sounds? And I'll tell you why in a second.
I still do it.
And it doesn't help?
It sometimes helps.
Okay.
It sometimes helps. It's not a 100%, though.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, it's not a 100%, but I tell you what happened. Several events, you can probably guess what one of them was. One of them was the 18 encounter. One of them was that voice I just told you about. And then right after I heard those knocks, after I heard that, the knock and the bang. So there's been three times really recently that after that's happened, I've left the big bright light on in the room where it's almost, you can't sleep because it's so bright. But just in my experience with leaving the light on, it helps, but it's not a 100% block to this thing.
TDT can get you in the daytime as well.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. To test it out, when it was going really thick with me, I decided to leave and go to the south coast, which is about 130 miles away, to see if I could run away from it, and it followed me.
Mm.
With the lights on, did you have a theory on the leaving the light on, Tim?
So my wife has slept with the light on since she was a little kid. She saw things in a room when she was a little kid and always slept with the light on. I had convinced her for a time to sleep with the light off when we got together. And she had an incident, and it was very strange because I had never told anyone about these abduction. And yeah, I put abduction in quotes. I don't think... And whatever happened, with you, I think it's happening in my room. I don't think I'm being carried away, at least not in most cases. But I'd never told anybody but my wife. And this night, I told a friend of ours. This is the first person, other than my wife, I told you. In the early 90s, you tell people stuff like this. And, of course, the jokes go right to, oh, did you get probed? So you just didn't tell people about it. So, we were hanging out with this guy and, got to talking about deep subjects and stuff. And I finally, I told him, first person I told other than my wife. Well, that night we go back and we're sleeping in my wife's childhood bedroom at her parents' house. She wakes up screaming. So we were sleeping with the light out, and she saw what several people on my podcast have since come and talked about, this flannel man entity, this guy that looks like a lumberjack standing at our feet. And ever since then, she's, lights are on again, right? So she sleeps with the light on. Last year, I went to a cryptid conference in West Virginia. And my research buddy and I rented a Airbnb down there. And it was back in this hollow outside of Morgantown, West Virginia. And we got there and we're unloading our stuff before we go to the conference. And I said, look at this place. Bigfoot's going to come out of the woods and knock on the side of the house tonight. Jokingly.
Yeah.
We go to the conference, go back, et cetera. And I'm thinking, I can sleep with the light out tonight. My wife's not here. I'll sleep with the light out. Maybe I'll get a good night's sleep. This kind of thing. I go to sleep and I have this dream, and I wish I would have looked at the time when I woke up from this dream. Now that you're talking about this triple digit stuff, I don't know what time I woke up. But anyway, in this dream, I'm getting texts, and this is why I asked about technology. I'm getting texts from Grays, and I don't know how I knew they were coming from Grays, but they were from Grays. They're coming in on my phone, and you're not supposed to be able to read in your dreams, but I was able to read these just fine. And the texts came up in red boxes. They didn't look like other texts with, I think, gold around them. It's like a gold frame around them, but they're coming in like regular texts on my phone. It was a whole series, and I only remembered the last one. And the last one said, "When you sleep with the light on, you're only avoiding confrontation with us."
Wow.
I wake up, sit up in bed, right above my head on the outside of the house, bang, loud as can be, loud as can be. And I thought, I'm not dealing with this right now. I'm not going outside to look for Sasquatch. Yeah. I got up, I used the restroom, went back to sleep. Nothing else happened, but there was no way I was going out and trying to deal with that at that point. You know, after a long day, I was tired and I just did not feel like dealing with it, but that absolutely happened. And, you know, I woke up and bang, just right above my head on the outside wall. Right now, I'm wishing I would have looked at the time when I woke up.
You need to, yeah, that's definitely something you need to start doing or trying to remember to do is looking right at your phone or whatever you have. And you know what's crazy too about the, I was thinking about this, we keep talking about these voices and you were asking about the voices is the, you know, even people like Les Stroud has said that he's, you know, everybody knows who Les Stroud is, the Survivor Man. It, you know, he heard when he was doing his Survivor Man Bigfoot show, he would later say in, and I can't remember, I think it's the Smoky Mountain episode. If you watch that and then you see some of his interviews later, that was the episode that he actually had a mind speak event happen with one of these, you know, whatever they are, doing the metallic sounding voice mind speak to him. That he later said in an interview when he's heard some of these voices, they've been metallic. So that's another weird thing about these voices.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of time these voices, they're metallic voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am excited about this. I guess you guys are going to continue doing your research. How big is the group that you're researching with?
We have about 8 people in our group right now, and we're, you know, we're always looking to expand it. We're not going to stop researching this. You know, it's a daily thing. You know, it's we communicate on a daily basis and we have, you know, we'll video chat, take notes, follow up on what's happened. But our whole group is pretty active. We just want answers to what's going on. That's the main thing. We don't know what it is, but, you know, we just want to try to find answers as to what exactly this, you know, thing is that's messing with our lives.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know in the end if we get answers. I think it's worth looking at. I think this is part of the human experience. And I think, I think more people have things happen than ever admit. More people have things happen than ever realize. But in general, you know, folklore has been discussing this, you know, for centuries before you and I were around. This has been happening to our ancestors. This is part of the human experience. All of this, I don't know if we get to figure it out, but it's certainly worth looking into. You know, because what a big part of the experience, the human experience this is. You know, I support any kind of research, especially open-minded research. You know, when you say things like, I don't know what it is, but it does this, this, and this. This is, you know, the kind of research that I think I do as well. I'm not trying to say it's this or it's that. I'm just saying like, hey, this happened and it also happened over here, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And we're fine with people, you know, contacting us if they've had any of these kind of TDT experiences. We have a TDT research email. You know, if you're okay with us giving that out.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's TDT research team at gmail.com. That's TDT research team at gmail.com. And we're fine with anybody messaging us. You know, we will get back to everybody as quick as we can, you know, and we'll help listen, whatever people need from us. We'll do our best to, you know, help them through this.
Try to support each other through it.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, I'll put that email in the show notes as well when we drop this episode. And I'd like to touch base, you know, in the future. I'm, you know, I think stuff's going to keep happening for you guys. And I'd love to kind of stay in touch. And, you know, at least we can document some other experiences. Maybe we get answers, maybe we don't. But I'd love to touch base and see what else is going on with you in the future.
Absolutely, man. We look forward to, you know, continuing to let you know what's going on and working with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Charlie. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Adopting a dog can be one of the best decisions you make in your life, but sometimes trying to raise a dog can leave you frustrated and overwhelmed. Maybe you have a new puppy who's mouthing and biting, needs help with potty training, maybe it has fear and nervousness issues, barking issues, maybe it's chewing on things it shouldn't be chewing on. If you need help with crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, and much more, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you. They can teach you what to do and also what not to do. With their relationship-based approach to training, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy helps you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They have online sources, video lessons, a secret Facebook group, and one-on-one options are, of course, available. You can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Again, you can find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Well, that's it for the bonus episode, and we'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We're on Instagram, @strangefamiliars, one word. And you can always find us on the web at
strangefamiliars.com.
Woo! Thank you.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.